Welcome to Monday Night Fungeons and Flagons. This is episode 9 for the series that we have coined the Arcane Academy. What up? I am the moderator, Maud Garrett. Thank you so much for following along on Twitch and subscribing to the YouTube page. I've got the chats up. It's super exciting to be able to have an interactive online version of Fungeons and Flagons, which we haven't done before. But thank you, 2020, for making life miserable and having to think outside the box by going inside the screen. A big shout out to Muzzy2222, who just followed then. Spectrum Game S, who subbed for the third month. Woohoo! Oscar and later Alus and Veges, I think. Thanks for the follows as well. If you do manage to follow us up during the show, I'll read out your names afterwards as well. Speaking of shout outs, we've got adventure holders and DM pass holders. These are two new Patreon tiers that have helped make this adventure be brought to life. Thank you so much, obviously, for doing that. So amazing. Those get access and announcements first. And you get to watch the after show, the winding down after each episode. That is only available to the pass holders. Also, DM pass holders have something that we've never done before, and that is a re-roll. And what's happened this time around is that three roll holders, they can't watch live, so they have asked for their rolls to be used when asked for by the players, which is super, super exciting for them. I want to personally thank those DM pass holders. Hey, Jello14 with the sub. SarahGrace213 for the sub as well. That's so sweet. And thank you, Nathan, for the cheer too. But Justin, Michelle, Jimmy, the Void Sorcerer, Mr. Pirate Dancer, Cordero, Nag88, Skylar Van, Isaac, Thierry, DDK Joe, Vaden, who's super new and so excited to have you in the prep plannings, DKTE, Seb_X, who I believe is watching live for the first time, Storm Shanks, who helped pretty much write and formulate this entire episode. Thank you so much. You're amazing. Katniss, Adam, Nathan, Terry, Alex, and Spectrum Gamers, thank you so much for joining in for this one. If you do want to get involved, head to patreon.com/geekbomb. And all the episodes are available in full on the YouTube page. So if you've missed out or you haven't seen it all the eps are there. Plus, I want to give a shout out to John Daly, who made an orchestrated intro for us, which is so amazing. You can check out his SoundCloud. Plus, we have a Fungeon subreddit if you want to have any posts, polls, or if you've got fan art. So I want to bring back the players for this particular episode. You guys remember Kate Welsh and Hector Navarro, but also Rob Buckley is joining us. He's back again from last episode as well. Hey guys, how you feeling?
Hi.
Hey gang.
Feeling good.
I'm glad my favorite series regular, Carrington Behrman, is back for a second time. this is very good.
Regular?
Yeah, I mean, you've been on two episodes.
This is good news.
What exactly happened in Rob's episode last week? Well, let's do a previously on Fungeons and Flagons. A portal opened on the docks of Big Booty Bay, and fellow Academy student Carrington Behrman, the half-orc barbarian with an emo hairdo and an ornate bear armor, stepped through, sent by Reedville to help with their final task of retrieving the ancient shard from the underwater temple situated on an island that had been sunk. Luckily, they had a potion that allowed three people to breathe underwater. Flying on Lance, the depressed griffin, they arrived at the location of the underwater island, drank the potion, and dove into the waters. It was there, hidden between what were hills, the cave entrance to the temple. After kissing a glowing jellyfish, and Carrington getting Elaine to pee on him, the trio got ambushed by swaggin/Merlin-type creatures, and they were finished off quickly, the leader holding the key to the entrance. After making their way through the main room, they had to pass the obstacle in the next, which was a giant turbine blasting a current of water at them. The moderator nearly threw her neck out trying to throw hints at Elaine, and he finally caught one and decided to teleport. And of course he rolled a one, but landed a reroll, so was able to successfully teleport everyone to the other side. In the next room was the treasure chest that they were after, but it was guarded by a Myrmidon, a water elemental who had a giant trident, which also happened to be the key to the chest. After a lengthy battle, leaving Carrington wondering if he was going to die alone, the trio tried anything but the key to open the chest, resulting in Broomhill losing her little toe. Finally, though, the shard of an ancient tablet was retrieved from the chest and the spell on the island was broken and it rose to the surface. They flew back to the academy, which is where we start this episode of Fungins and Flagons.
Did you make sure to mention the part where I peed?
I did, and then I deleted it, but I definitely made a note of you having an old and weak bladder.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't mention though that Elaine got 24 years of your life back.
26.
26 years of your life back. So now you are a robust 31-year-old. You're back in the game, buddy. That must feel really good.
He doesn't fart when he coughs anymore. His knees feel good.
Only time I fart is when it's on purpose.
Must feel good. So obviously Lamps has just pulled in at the opening of the academy, the main doors, and they open and you see what few students remain at the academy, flanked by Reedville, who just looks so happy that you've done this and you've completed your last task. He is ecstatic. You passed your test, and a cheer erupts from those remaining students. And there are fewer than there were before. In fact, you see Magenta and Emerald, the two students that you had a combat with earlier, they are still students at the school because they too had passed their graduating trial with flying colors. So they are super, super stoked for you and congratulate you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
it was. Okay.
Thank you for that most classy round of applause. We greatly appreciate it.
Oh, I just had something on my hand. I was just getting rid of it. Sorry.
Oh, rude.
I was clapping for Magenta. Thank you.
Okay.
I just would like to take a quick opportunity to point out to some of the coolest girls in school, like, I'm younger now. Look at me. I look younger. I'm not as old as I was before. So, you know, it's not as weird and creepy to say hello to me in the hallways now. So hello.
Ew, what, are you like 30? You're ancient, ew, gross. This is like, what, dad bod? I'm not into it.
Wow, ageist much?
Hello, I'm like a teenager? Yeah, like it's weird that he's here still.
Were you raised by a pack of super rude wolves?
Don't talk about my family that way. You don't know them.
So while the bickering is happening, and it's quite apparent that Carrington has just never gotten along with these two, and they've caused a lot of angst. And what happened earlier on in their friendship or lack of, we don't really know about that. But another
we dated for a second, but it was gross. Ew.
There it is. Depeche Niffle, who you guys also remember as the two students that had fused together, but kind of didn't, but they're still very much together. They also come up to you and Elaine gives you a big, big hug. Can you roll for sleight of hand for me?
Yes, sleight of hand. Here we go. I have to get rid of this die. This is a 3.
Okay, cool. So they go to pass you a note and it falls to the ground and you don't even notice it.
Oh, so nice.
Can I notice it?
Yeah, roll for perception.
Yes.
But because they are a lot shorter and you're a lot taller, your eyeline is so high. So I'm going to give you a -2. Same for you, Carrington. You're too tall. So -1.
I got a 15.
Can I roll for it as well?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, everyone roll. And whoever gets the highest gets to pocket it.
Man, we are all peeping this note hard.
Ugh. Is that a crit? Did you crit? Or is that a 19?
No, oh, mine's a 15. No, sorry.
Oh, yours is a 15. So Carrington, -2 for you because, oh, actually, you too, Emerald, because you're really, really tall as well. Mm. You both get 13s. How'd you go, Magenta?
14.
14? What'd you get, Broomhild? That's a dire shake of the head. All right, cool. Magenta pockets the note.
Do I see Magenta pocket the note? Do I notice that?
Can we roll for that? Can I see? Can we all see if we notice her pocketing?
Whoever rolled higher than a 10 notices it, but Magenta has it.
Mm-hmm. I immediately box the rest of you out and I'm like, cool.
Doesn't open it right now, but she definitely just slides it into her pocket. But
and I'm sorry, this note came from who?
Depeche
Mode. Long story.
Okay.
The student that was fused into two. We'll show his picture again. This character. Yeah. So Nepesha, okay. It tried to give it to Elaine, but yeah, Elaine missed it, and now you have it.
Can I turn away and read it real fast?
Yeah.
What does it say?
I am DMing you right now.
Hey, Magenta, do you want to share that note you just picked up surreptitiously with the rest of us?
Leave her alone, she's reading.
Oh, she learned? Good for you, Magenta. Honestly, big.
Magenta, you're like so smart, don't listen to him.
Oh, what was a fly buzzing by? I didn't hear anything.
Oh my God. Broomhild, Carrington is her new best friend and Magenta is the love of her life. And this is a really horrible place to have found. She was just thinking about bragging that she got her first kiss, where Magenta might hear it and think that she was experienced. But now it's just frozen in enormous silence between these two bickering.
Well, Reedville cannot contain his excitement. He grabs the ancient shard of the tablet and he was like, congratulations again for completing your final task. This magical ancient shard will permit the power that I can then cast a spell so that you have full control over the magic that resides within you. But for me to be able to do this, I need to charge this ancient shard, and this spell to charge it with ancient magic will require my full concentration and will likely last the night into the morning. But the good news is that you'll soon be graduating the academy after this. And he kind of looks around at the students who had remained there, and he was like, keep going on your preparations. Everyone has a cleaning task to do as we prepare for graduation. Carrington, yes, the kitchens are empty and you will need to cook food for tomorrow's brunch. Please head to the kitchens and get started. Elaine and Broomhild.
Yes.
Oh, Broomhild, you're nice and tall. That's good. Elaine, you can teleport. Could you please hang these decorations all through the hall, placing candles about and making it look presentable for tomorrow? Emerald, Magenta, you know what needs to be done. I'm sorry that it had to be you.
We'll test the cushions, no problem. And I'll definitely sample the food. You don't even have to ask.
As I'd mentioned, you were cleaning the bathrooms. As much as you try to deny it, you cannot get out of that one. But please prepare the academy for the celebration. Do not interrupt me, for this is a concentration spell that cannot be broken. And this is of utmost importance that I do charge this ancient shard.
Does anybody else feel like they're like 10% as excited to graduate as this guy is for us to graduate? Is that strange to any of you?
I hadn't considered it, but now I honestly, it is kind of weird. Yeah, good one, Broomhild. Yeah, nice catch.
I totally forgot. Depeche Niffle, since you are half bird, it might be best for you to do the dusting in the library, having feathers and all. And with that, I bid you adieu again, please. I must not be interrupted once I start the spell. See you tomorrow, nice and early, dressed for your graduation.
And Headmaster Reedville heads towards his offices and shuts the door. So you guys head to your duties. Let's have a little map of the academy so we can see where everyone is to go. So as you can see, the office where Reedville is in the middle of the academy. To the far right, the classrooms. Up the top, you have a library. To the left middle is the main hall where Broomhild and Elaine are setting up the decorations. Depeche Niffle is dusting the library. No one's in the classrooms, but Carrington Behrman is in the kitchens, and both Emerald and Magenta are upstairs cleaning out the student dormitories to then move into the bathrooms and do the heavy lifting there.
As they leave, Magenta holds the note up to Emerald and starts giggling and pointing at it like...
by the way, shout out to Melissa, who Mr. Chan... who our Geek Bomb graphic designer for the map. She did a really, really great job.
That's really good.
Yes. Okay. So Magenta and Emerald are obviously like just rubbing the note in everyone's face. Lovely. Carrington, you have a massive mammoth job of cooking ahead of you. Can you please roll?
Ouch. 5.
Yeah, cool. You're not really used to cooking. So baking bread is a little bit hard. There's like raisins and pepper in the breads. You're just kind of doing some deep experimenting because no one really taught you how to do it. Brumhild and Elaine, you realize that the fact that one is a teleporter and the other one is super, 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 super tall, you actually get the decorations completed quite quickly. So it's up to you how you'd like to spend the rest of your evening.
Well, I'm going to be honest. You know, I've just come back with my two best friends from a crazy mission. And even though I gained some of my youth back and I'm only 31 years old, that's still substantially older than all the other students here at the school. So like, I'm pretty pooped. I'm tired, honestly. So I think I'm going to go ahead and head over to the living quarters and just knock out, you know, just go to sleep. It's been a long day. You know, I don't know. I'm just going to sort of check in with myself a little bit and then go to sleep. But I'm still cool and young and hip, but I'm definitely tired. So that's what I'm going to go do.
All right. So Elaine heads up to the sleeping quarters and kind of tucks himself into bed. Brumhild, you've got the evening off. What would you like to do?
Well, it's only 6:45. So I'm going to make myself a sandwich because it's still daylight outside. And so I head from the main hall into the kitchen, feeling pretty good about having used my height for something helpful, which has never happened in my whole life. Hmm. Feeling pretty good. It's like my nega surge. I'm loving it. I'm loving the joy.
So Carrington is still with the five, is still in the kitchen looking and feeling incredibly frustrated. Hmm. And I have a feeling he's a little bit on edge from this. Do you want to make your presence known in the kitchen while you make your sandwich?
Oh, I don't know. Not if he's in a bad mood. Okay. So as I go from the main hall into the kitchen, I'm going to use my stealth armor and tiptoe in because it's also not ours and I don't want to get in trouble. Like I'm not interested in getting in trouble. So I want to sneak in for a sneaky secret sandwich.
Cool. All righty.
Well, she sneaks in, she overhears me crying while kneading bread and being like, don't let this bread beat you. You're better than this bread. You can do this, Carrington.
Yeah, so this is obviously a very vulnerable moment that he does not want anyone seeing. So Brumhild, you're trying really, really hard to not move the knife or make it obvious that you're collecting ingredients. So you have, this is taking a very, very long time for you. And this is the longest sandwich.
Maud, you have a lot of really civilized ideas about the kind of sandwich that Brumhild would make if you think that a knife is involved. This is tearing chunks off of a loaf of bread, scraping some meat off the bottom of a plate, plopping it on and calling it good.
Okay, all righty. But because you are trying not to make a sound to make your presence known, it is taking a little bit longer.
Oh, yeah.
Emerald, Magenta, the bathrooms were not in the best nick. You have 7-foot students whose aim is questionable. So you are in the bathroom. You started with the sleeping quarters, so you actually helped make the beds and you swept the floors. But then you've eventually, like by the time Elaine has come in to put himself to bed, you've moved into the bathrooms.
Magenta is just keeping a running monologue of like, yeah, I mean, Carrington's obviously still crazy in love with me. It's just so sad. Like, it doesn't matter how hot he is. I'm just never taking him back. Like, even if he's like obviously begging, like, did you see the look in his eyes? Like, you can be as mean as you want, but I can tell what you're really saying, right, Emerald?
Yes, of course. I totally agree. Emerald is like falling asleep, just kind of doing like the worst job. Her brain is elsewhere. Like there's just like a smear of water across the floor and then it's kind of like up on the wall and she's kind of one of the doors that swings open. She's kind of like mopping that. So it's banging into the wall and she's like, at all the wrong times.
Fantastic. So after all the tasks are complete, Carrington, is there anything after cooking that happens?
No, there was like a couple like of leftovers. So I thought like, you know what? I wonder what Lamps is doing. I bet he'd like a little snack. So like I just popped out real quick to the stables just to hook my buddy up, give him a little hand feeding, you know, and we just chatted, hung out a little bit, and that was it.
Because you can understand each other.
We like get each other.
Yeah.
For real.
That's sweet. Okay. So you all go to sleep that night and wake up. Magenta's a bit of a morning person because she takes 2 hours to put all her makeup on and to look presentable.
Always. No, I just woke up like this. What are you talking about?
Of course.
It looks like that whenever I wake up.
Exactly. So they're up a little bit earlier just to get prim and proper. And then Magenta makes her way downstairs and you hear a hysterical, blood-curdling shriek coming from downstairs, from Magenta.
Well, I'm shrieking.
You are.
Emerald, like a tuning fork, attuned to the specific chaos of her best friend, bolts awake in bed, and is like very groggy and, you know, just not really feeling it, but she's gonna start raising alarm before she even gets her 2 feet on the ground. Like, Magenta! 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 And she's banging on every door and she's like, Magenta, where are you? There's no way anyone else in the radius is missing this.
Got it. So this loud noise has absolutely been the most effective alarm. So everyone's up.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good.
Do I know why I'm screaming, Maud?
Yeah, check the chat.
All right. I start screaming, it's a dead body! Ew, gross! Oh, it's a dead body! Ooh, somebody pick it up!
What is going on? What? Where? Dead body? Huh?
Ooh. Do I see a dead body?
So if you're all still upstairs, kind of like waking up, you're hearing this commotion go downstairs. Emerald runs at the first note of Magenta's shrieks. Do you guys all follow?
I check to make sure Elaine's bed has his figure in it, and just to make sure that he's not the dead body. Uh-huh. And I'm like, okay, well, whoever it is, it doesn't really matter. But yeah,
wow. I guess that's one way to look at it. Yeah, glass half full. Maybe we should go see what's going on. Okay, come on, Broomhild.
So you all enter the library where you just see Magenta. Just really creeped out and freaking out.
Magenta is like crying on Emerald's shoulder and she's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to recover. Like, can you imagine just finding a dead body in your school? Like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm going to do. This is about me.
I'm so sorry. Like, there is a dead body, I'm sure, but like Magenta needs me. So I am just 100% focused on soothing.
We don't have to imagine that. We're all experiencing that right now. We've all found this dead body. It's a shared trauma. It's all of us here together. We're all students. And
trying to make it about you? Selfish much? Yeah. There's a dead body over there. We should focus on what matters.
Yeah, let's focus on the real victim here, the body. Can we go over and see who this is?
Yeah. So initially, at a first glance, you can't really tell because whatever body this was, it looks like it has had the life force sucked out of it. And this body has become almost decimated and somewhat like mummified. And their corpse is kind of like, you know, broken and distorted. But you
wait,
their
corpse is broken? They have a broken corpse?
No, but it looks a little like it was all, the energy was sucked out of them. But the reason why it looked broken was because at a further inspection, it wasn't one torso, it's two.
No!
The body of your former student, Depeche Niffle, has been attacked in the middle of the night and is now a decimated corpse.
They don't look so good.
Oh, like a dried grape, says Storm Shanks.
Wouldn't that be a raisin?
You're so smart, Magenta.
It looks like a raisin.
A raisin. Or like a craisin.
No. Can we bring him back? Is there something we can do? Are we sure he's even dead?
Oh yeah.
Everyone kind of like kicks at him a little.
I can go and get Headmaster Reedville. I can go get him.
No, well, he said not to interrupt him.
Okay.
Well, then we're just going to have to figure out who did this on our own. Because this cannot stand.
And I count. Would he only have thought it was in the castle or academy or whatever this is?
Both. It's both, yeah.
Oh, nice. Yes. Castle Academy.
Yeah. For now, we were all living here peacefully until the Fire Nation returned and she gestures at Brunhild and Elaine and Carrington.
Don't know even what you're talking about. That is what?
I don't know. Look, hair is kind of like flamey.
One of two things has just happened, okay? The first option is that the Peshniffel accidentally somehow killed themselves. I mean, it would not be unheard of. This is the Arcane Academy. There's lots of accidents that happen. We've all been privy to some of those accidents. I was split in twain and then had to get put back together. They could have messed up a spell or something. It's a very dangerous spell. Or the second option is it one of us kills them?
No! That had never occurred to me.
Still here in this room.
On the count of three, and everyone be honest. One, two, three. Who did it? Not me.
Not it.
Okay. Oh, Magenta.
What? No. Only the killer would make it a game like that. It's not a game.
Magenta would never hurt anyone or anything. Besides, she was cleaning the bathroom with me all night, and it's
We have an alibi. We were together.
Okay, yeah, that checks out.
Roll a perception check for me, because goddamn it, someone has to look for evidence at the crime scene.
16.
5. All right. So this. Oh, what is this dance, Hector?
I guess I'm taking points on the investigation because I rolled a 20, baby.
Oh my God, we got a nat.
And you switch dice. It's a different die.
Yeah. So while everyone's bickering and they're like, as if I would do it. And it's like, Elaine, you have just been looking around and a glint, because you were in the top far corner of the library. And you start going into full sort of like Benedict Sherlock mode and things are kind of falling into place a little bit for you. And next to the body, propped up against the wall, is Carrington's shield.
Dubious!
There.
So dubs.
Carrington's not, because you've rolled a 20, I've got a list because you rolled a 20. You see Carrington's shield propped up against the wall, but there are indented markings that lead up to that place on the wall as if someone had dragged the shield. If you look a little bit further over within the stacks in the library, you can see that there are other scratches in the wood, the floor. One of them looks like it's a set of claws. The other one looks like it's from fingernails that drag as well. And you also notice that the window at the top right of the library, the window is open.
How could you, Carrington? How could you do this?
Wait. We don't know that it was Carrington Behrman, okay? Let's not jump to conclusions. He's a cool dude and my new friend.
His shield is right there.
His name is Behrman, and there are claw marks.
That's true, but he does not turn into a bear. He can summon a magical, mystical bear made of energy. So,
real quick, there was one set of claw marks almost like that of a crow, and one set of nail marks almost like that of a human, almost like there was a half crow, half human that got dragged across the floor. Oh my God, the victim.
Yes, it looks like we
have a clear... You know a lot about what happened, don't you?
Yeah, what Magenta said.
Elaine, you look out the window and you notice that there are footprints, and the footprint size is considerably big, like quite big. And you also notice that they're deep, as if the impact of a big body has caused that that footprint out the window.
Goliath size.
Well done for your 20.
Perhaps.
That's everything. Oh, actually, no, I'll give you one more. There was an open book on the table that had obviously been pulled from the library, and it was trying to find evidence about portals.
A book on portals, yes. Portals. Okay, so It looks like there was a struggle. There was an open window that the murderer brought in either the body or jumped in here to attack our victim. Then we have a book here, and it just so happens to be open to a page on portals, which means that it could have also been an attack via portal, and the window means nothing. So we can't rule any of this out. I think that we're going to have to prove to one another that it could not have been us with, thank you, Magenta, Emerald, good call, the alibis. We're going to start with you two. What is your alibi? Was you together the entire night? Go.
Of course we were. We're always by each other's side.
Absolutely. And we're definitely cleaning the bathroom, because if you go up there now, you can tell that we put a lot of work in, and I broke this nail, and
I'm kind of still sad about it.
Okay.
Emerald even cleaned the top of the doors. You probably heard the mop banging around because she did it kind of loud, like no offense, just like a little loud.
What time did you get to bed, both of you?
Oh my god, like so late. Like I'm still so tired.
I don't know, like 1.
Okay. You guys look tired.
Okay. I'm going to approach the body of Depeche Niffle once more and try to use my perception to see if I can determine at what time the body was killed. How long has this body been dead? Because if this body was killed before 1 a.m., if I do the math, then maybe they're off the hook. But if it took place between 1 a.m. and now, well then, who knows what could have happened. So I want to try to see what I can find.
Hey, you're like 31. You would have caught a couple seasons of CSI back in the cable days.
At this rate, yes. Also, I remember like NYPD Blue, like, yes, going far back because I'm 31 years. No, I'm not 31. I'm 17 in a 30-year-old's body. Okay, I rolled a 12.
You can determine that the TOD, time of death, was sometime between 11:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m. It definitely happened before 1 a.m.
An incredible result for a 12. You got an hour window.
Yes.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh, so this happened while we were cleaning the bathroom?
Ew, it could have got us.
Potentially, yeah. You all can't take my word for it. I am a 17-year-old in the body of a 31-year-old, so not any sort of professional, but it looks like you're in the clear, yes. Okay, the next person's alibis we're gonna go through is my homie, Carrington. There's no way you could have done it, but what's your alibi?
Oh, right. Someone's dead.
Hold on. You rolled a 20 for perception in the room for evidence, right? You notice that Carrington's looking a little, he's got a bit of a sheen happening on his forehead. And even though he's half orc, he's looking extra green.
Yeah. So first of all, if everyone could just stop with the shouting, because it's just a lot right now.
I never shout.
Second of all, I just want to say to my BFF, who is apparently an amazing super sleuth, you're doing great work. And we all
know, it's crazy. I've never done this before.
Yeah, I know. So thank you for that. Just on behalf of all of us, even those who aren't saying thank you and expressing gratitude as they should, thank you. Now, I was cooking all night. I loved it. Like, I'm a great cook. So I was just like whipping stuff up. I definitely wasn't getting emotional about it. But like, I made a 6-hour souffle that I started at 7:30. You have to watch a souffle like a hawk. So if I'm in the kitchen watching this souffle that's going to blow your minds later, how was I off killing someone?
So also, that would put you in the kitchen until 1:30 a.m. But
totes.
You were in there alone. So unless there was somebody who could have confirmed that you were in the kitchen, then we have to take you at your word, which as far as I'm concerned is ironclad. But just putting that out there.
Well, where's the souffle?
Yeah.
It's in the kitchen. I mean, like where all the food is.
Oh, well, let's like go to the kitchen then.
Yes. Let's leave this body where it lay and go into the kitchen, all of us. Let's go.
Okay.
You make your way into the kitchens.
Now, when you get to the kitchen, what you see is it is an absolute disaster. And it basically looks like a 5-year-old tried to cook. And so Carrington puts on his bravest face. So yeah, obviously these things are still works in progress because they have to be touched up before they get sent out, you know what I mean? But like, this is it. I mean, this is a lot of, there's also, it was hard.
I feel like Magenta may be the kind of person that has probably ordered a souffle in many a restaurant. so she may have some knowledge of what a 6-hour souffle actually looks like. Can she determine whether this actually merits 6 hours of souffle preparation?
Yeah, you know, I'll give you a +3 for being prissy onto your roll.
Can I roll to see if my souffle's rose as a good souffle should?
You know it didn't.
Even with the +3, I... yeah.
All right, roll. -5.
I think Magenta is the kind of person that's prissy and would pretend she knows a lot about a souffle because it's the most time-consuming, expensive thing on the menu, but actually doesn't know that much because she rolled a 9.
Okay, cool. Then, yeah, see if you can fake it.
But also, in the interest of full disclosure, because I think everyone should be honest, especially the two girls who lie all the time, I think I should let you know that at one point, I did, I popped out to the stables to go visit our good friend Lamps, and I was there for a little bit.
If that is true, only you can understand Lamps because you have that bracelet that lets you talk to animals. I was going to say, let's go check in with him and ask him, but then we would still have to hear your words. So never mind. Okay.
I kind of come to because I've been mourning our friend who died while y'all were arguing about souffle. And I go, Depeche Niffle, I don't. God, what do you? No, he was in here. The Carrington Behrman. He was in the kitchen. He was in the kitchen because I came down and I made a sandwich, and I watched him. He was crying over the bread. You remember you were making the bread and you were like, oh no, don't let him see you cry, bread.
Onions in the loaf. That's why I was crying. I wasn't onions.
Oh, is that it? Oh, that sounds real good though. And then I saw him bring some griffin looking snacks and a big old bottle of something very dark, like very dark brown liquor that looked a little questionable.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some truth to that. Also, guys, since we're not lying, I should just tell the truth. I was definitely crying over that loaf of bread because it got the best of me.
And
bread,
it's okay. Carrington, I'm really glad. I'm really glad that you could be free with us. Sometimes bread's a real bitch.
Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you. And as for that bottle, okay, full disclosure, guys. I did bring some cooking wine out to the stables. And I'll tell you that cooking wine isn't just for cooking.
Magenta will kind of like condescendingly put a hand on his shoulder and be like, oh, your drinking problem's still out of control, is it? It's so sad.
Wow.
I mean, look at your face, like sweaty. I mean, do you have a headache? You look pretty hungover.
Yeah, do you even like remember what you did last night? Like, how drunk did you even get?
Like, barely caught a buzz. Like, I was buzzed enough to think I could speak elf fluently, but like, and dance super well, but like, not drunk enough to where it was like out of control. I have shame in the morning, you know?
Well, where's the bottle? Show us how much is left.
I think I like kicked it over in the stables, so we could probably out there, but like, I definitely kicked it over, so I don't know if there'd be.
Wait, before we go out to the stables, and I turn to Elena, like, you're my best friend. But where were you last night?
Oh, I have the best alibi of all of them. I was asleep in my bed alone in my room the entire time. So, you know, when you physically hit your 30s, you just get tired for no reason. And I think also this kind of explains this. You get really into true crime. So that's why I'm really super into trying to solve this. It's weird. As soon as you hit your 30s, all of a sudden that genre is so interesting to you for some reason. So I was in my bed. I was just so knocked out from yesterday. I went to sleep and then I woke up this morning when Magenta was screaming bloody murder. Turns out there was a bloody murder. So she was right. Woke everybody
Thank
up.
Thank you.
What time was the victim supposed to have died?
Oh, yes, that's right. Between 11:30 and 12:30. Now, I went to bed at 6:30 and then, as far as I remember, was pretty much asleep the entire night. You know, as much as one can remember, like, a pretty good night of sleep. I don't know if...
I'm just gonna say, I find it super dubs that you were able to sleep that long Like 6:30 until when I started screaming is a really long time.
What does this mean, Dubs? What's his Dubs?
Dubious, duh, Dubs, super Dubs.
Yeah. Come on, you don't know that?
And I also that I think it's super weird that the girl who caught mono 3 times in 1 school year thinks heavy sleeping is weird. Wow, hi Pot, it's me the kettle. Want to take a nap?
Whoa,
look, Carrington, I mean, listen. It's weird that the guy I got mono from brings that up in front of everybody.
Oh, snap. Oh, it's on now. Listen, hey, this is between you two. It's on now. School rules. You have to have a battle of some sort.
We'll do a dance off later. We got to murder the fall.
We still have one more person to get through.
Wait, and can I add something? Since we're like really letting it out, obviously. Yeah.
Yes.
I hung out in the stables for a while. I may have had a little bit more than a little wine, to be clear. But at one point, we heard a loud noise coming from the lower levels. Loud enough. It sounded like, not like someone knocking over a book, but like a proper scuffle or a kerfuffle, if you will, to the point that it really alarmed the lamps. And when I got up to just sort of calm him down and I looked across, I saw none other than Emerald walking back towards the building, and when we made eye contact, she took off.
Okay, so your story is you were drinking a little, and then you were drinking actually a lot, and then you saw me leaving the scene of a crime. That's dupes.
Well, here's
super dupes.
Like, you have that really, really unique awkward run.
Be very careful.
Yeah. Like, everyone would know it's you from a mile away with like the way you do your arms and the way
you're
like.
I ran 13 years of track. Honestly, since I was 3. Since I could run, I started running track, so don't.
I know how we
don't tell this. Me I run funny.
Carrington describes a run as best as you can, and then Emerald, you should run, and then we can see if he described it accurately. Go.
It is as if the lower half of the body is working independent of the upper half. It is like the upper half of the body is shopping and reaching for groceries at high levels, while the lower half can't decide if it wants to skip or jog.
Okay, so you just described a horrifically ugly run. So Emerald, go ahead and run. In fact, how about we do this? We can run to the bathroom to see the evidence of you two having cleaned the bathroom. Let's run there, and then we'll look at you running on the way.
A, I'm just going to say, Emerald was with me the whole time, so it could not have been her. And B, like, I'm sorry, this is super rude. I never would have brought up how somebody runs, but, like, the way you describe that kind of sounds like how Broomhild runs to me.
No.
I'm sorry, I didn't bring it up.
Okay, well, now this we have to have a race between Emerald and Broomhild. I've seen Broomhild run. I know for a fact she doesn't run like that. She runs like a graceful gazelle. But if you know what, if it will put it to rest, I say let's have us a race right now. Let's go.
Little old-fashioned foot race to settle this.
We should also point
to solve the murder
that we're doing this on Carrington's word, and he obviously hates us because he loves us. But anyway, I think he would clearly try to pin this on me or Emerald.
Yeah, we're going on his word that the murderer runs funny, which I definitely don't, but above board, I totally do, and this is hurting my soul. But back on board, I don't, and even if I did, I wouldn't be conscious or self-aware of it to know it. So let's race.
Also, let's point out that Elaine says he was just in bed all night, and he can teleport, so, like, how would anyone know where he was? I find it very dubs that he's the one conducting this investigation.
Ooh, double dubs, Magenta.
Super dupes.
No, negative dupes. Elaine was definitely in bed all night.
But you were in the kitchen. How would you know that?
Oh, because I just tapped in, you know.
Not entirely true. I wasn't in bed all night. Full disclosure, I just remembered at one point I did get up to pee. Again, when you physically hit yourself.
That's not the same thing.
Okay.
Moving these goalposts, huh?
Look, it's clear, Emerald, Magenta, Broomhild, Carrington. that we all are way more invested in each other's lives than I thought was going to happen before I came to this school. Yes, we all have feelings about one another. I think Carrington's the coolest. Broomhild's my best friend. I've never met a better person. I think Emerald is super awesome, and I'm really jealous of her popularity. Magenta's the most beautiful creature I've ever seen, and I hope that someday she notices people as lowly and ugly as me. But you know what? It doesn't matter how we feel about one another. The important thing is that we can try to prove to one another that we didn't murder our student, classmate, friend.
First, okay, gosh, aw. And second, what time did you go to the bathroom? Because you totally would have seen us.
Yeah, we were in there all night. Did you go to the bathroom? Or did you, like, boy bathroom, like, outside?
Boy bathroom outside, what does that mean? No, I went to I went to the unisex bathroom, yes. Maybe around like 11:30. I don't know. I was there. I don't remember seeing anybody in the bathroom, but I've you know, it's just when you hit your 30s, you know what I mean? But I also don't remember hearing anything either, for sure. I did not hear anything because it didn't sort of wake me up from my normal sort of sleepy walking to the bathroom, relieve myself, and then go back to bed. So I don't recall much, honestly. I'm just going to chalk it up to me being physically in my 30s, and all of you are young and virile and in your teens. So,
I mean, 30 is super ancient. So, like, no, you it's may not. Just like no, already Magenta, be senile, no. I guess. But
31 is the new, you know what? There's not an uncreepy way to finish that. So let's just go to the bathroom. And let's see your evidence and see if we can spot any more clues.
Cool. You guys head up to the bathrooms.
Okay, but how was Emerald running? That's what I was looking at. Also, Broomhild.
The way that Emerald was, she was taking long strides. She wasn't necessarily running. She was definitely taking long strides. You go up to the bathrooms and they are spotless. They have been like clean to the point where the walls are almost reflective. Yeah, they have absolutely been pristine at this stage. And it definitely looks like the work of two people who were cleaning all night.
I want to check the claim that that Emerald washed these doors.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. When I went to the bathroom, I remember that Magenta was here for sure. And I remember talking to her. I can't remember what we talked about, but I remember exchanging words, but I don't remember Emerald being in the bathroom at night. So maybe she was cleaning in another part of the restroom, or she was in the hallway or something. I don't know.
You
maybe she was.
You just said that you didn't remember anyone being there. Now you kind of remember me being there and not Emerald. Like,
well, in Elaine's defense, you're kind of easily forgettable. You don't tend to make a big impression. You're kind of just like there often. So,
Elaine, do you think I'm forgettable?
I mean, no, but honestly, that was a sick burn, Magenta. That was pretty good.
How dare you?
There is a moment where I'm defending her and you're yelling at her and it looks just like the two women and the
Magenta, this is a personal insult to your character and you are really, really upset that someone has spoken so illy of you, Serge.
I'm super embarrassed because he said I'm forgettable and I know he's in love with me. I don't know why he would say that. I rolled a 7.
You guys dated for 2 weeks. How is it still this bitter?
You weren't there. You weren't involved. It was 14 intense days.
Oh dear, this is no good. The spy who loved me is number 7. Sadness surge is happening, so you're really bummed out by this, and the player is taken over by a spirit of a piss drunk James Bond from whichever film era.
Last
the next 3 minutes.
So Magenta is like bracing herself on a sink and she's like hunched over and she's like, it's just been so rough, I just don't know if I can go on. But she kind of smooths her hair back and she's like, hey, Carrington.
What? This is the third time a character on his show has become catastrophically depressed out of nowhere.
Welcome to high school, guys.
What are high school on the check CW? Oh.
When your life's not your own, you know, when you just wherever someone says go, you go. And you, whenever someone says do, you do. It's just hard to keep track of a sense of self, you know?
Magenta, do you smell toast? Have you had a stroke?
That sounds good, but what?
You can tell that she's searched because everyone knows that, like, the body kind of like flares up, and but you also know that you've upset her enough to for her to surge.
Okay, she takes like a swing at him, like a drunken, like it looks like it was supposed to be martial arts, but was clearly just kind of some weird stumble.
Everyone kind of catches you on the rest of the swing and is like, oh, there we go.
And since I still have deep-rooted feelings for her and I see how sad she is, I think it really upsets me too.
Upsets enough to roll the D20 for a Sergio?
I think
right?
So. Right. Six.
Oh. You roll the Tower of Babel. The language of all the players are mixed up. So basically, my God, the Void Sorcerer, what are you doing? Let me bring the Zoom. Okay, so now, Carrington, you sound like Broomhild. Broomhild, you sound like Elaine. Elaine, you sound like Emerald, and Emerald, you sound like Magenta, which means Magenta, you sound like Carrington.
So I sound like drunk James Bond Carrington?
Yes.
Just like so, Carrington, just normal Carrington.
I grab like a toothbrush cup, you know, the kind that gets like toothpaste in the bottom, it's all gross. And I fill up some water and I hold it and I'm swirling it like a martini. Yeah. And
oh
I'm like,
oh my God. Magenta, what are you doing? Stop. That's gross.
Look, I don't have a drinking problem.
Gosh, has a drinking problem.
Am I Elaine? I think we all just need to calm down for 3 seconds and try to figure this thing out. I think it's very important. And I also see my best friend and the love of my life, and they have both surged. They have both surged, and that upsets me very much, and I also surge.
Roll me a D20.
Why are you making your hands like that? Stop.
I have rolled a 5.
Roll for me. What is it? A 5? What is wrong with everyone? 5.
This is teen angst at its finest.
Oh my God. Are you kidding? Who's who? In the blink of an eye, the player transforms to look exactly like the player to their left. So the voice that you are being, you now look like them as well.
Freaky Friday.
It's the best. Oh my God. Finally. Yes.
Oh my god.
I've been wanting to be Magenta for so long.
Magenta looks down at herself and drops her cup in shock. She's like, whoa.
This matches up just fine.
So wait, who am I?
You are Broomhild.
Oh, so I have her voice and I've transformed into her.
Yeah.
This is also true for me.
Okay, everybody, let's figure this out, okay?
No.
Oh my God, this is the worst day ever. I'm surging.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
14.
Oh, thank God.
Alrighty, the Master Special. You are, oh my God.
Spit it out, come on.
The Master Special, you are hit with that drunken halfling master's voluptuous spell and become the most attractive version of yourself as described by you. Roll with advantage on charisma, flirtatious, and deceptive rolls.
Wait, so Elaine looks and sounds like Emerald and is now the most attractive person in the room?
Yes.
Wait, most attractive version of like Emerald could be? Yes. Or like Elaine? Oh my God, no, this is the only thing worse. I finally got my dream and now the curse is greener.
Are you surging?
Yeah.
Roll a D20.
17.
17! It's getting better. That's something. Oh, God. Roscoe's Thornage Blessing. A blessing of a legendary halfling hero. If needed, the player can whistle to save his or to have his or her speed tripled their normal walking speed. Thank you, Jimmy, for that one. You no longer run weird.
Aww.
Okay, everybody, let's get back down to business. Everybody pay attention and listen to me for a second. I'm very charismatic. The only person whose alibi we have left to try to figure out is Broomhild. And I look over at Carrington because I'm confused.
Me, Carrington? Or Carrington, Carrington?
Rob Carrington. Okay.
Who looks like Broomhild.
Sorry, mate. I just look and sound like her, but it's not me.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so I'm going to go to the weird, ugly blue guy. That's who I need. Broomhild, you're in there.
This is me.
Look, you're my best friend. You're awesome. I look super attractive right now, and I know it's temporary. Just let everybody know what your alibi was last night. I mean, I didn't see you, but I'm sure you have a good alibi. What is it?
Oh, my God. Okay, question for you, Maude. If he is being super charismatic to me right now, which he is obviously very attractive.
Yeah.
Is that going to make me...
Are you flustered?
I'm not surging. I'm just wondering, how's this? Will you make him roll? Because if he's persuasive enough, I will tell the thing I'm trying not to tell.
He currently, because of that surge, has advantage. So
exactly.
A Lemrold, could you roll twice for me? And it's the better score.
15 and 13. So 15.
Okay.
Yeah. You're
safe. Okay. Well, this is... Elaine, I look around a little bit. I realize I'm Elaine, so I assume the one who's talking to me is Elaine. This is something I didn't want to bring up in front of the rest of the school, which is this whole group. This is all of us. This is the whole graduating class. But since you are being so insistent, then yes, I will tell you, I know exactly where I was, because here I am eating my sandwich extremely slowly in the kitchen. I started 6:30, 6:45, I'm still down there at 11:30 or so. And I am eating my sandwich, I'm on the last bite. And then poof, who teleports into the kitchen? Sleep teleporting, yeah. If you narrow all those things down, who do I get? It gets you. And so I know where I was because I was carrying your sweet little body back up the stairs and tucking you into bed and giving you two kisses on the head.
Okay.
Just so you guys know, every 30 seconds I'm rolling to see if I can get higher than like a 10 for this spell to break, and I haven't done it.
This is what
nobody's so happy to be Maude. We all love doing this stupid shit. We're fine. You just keep doing your thing.
Magenta/Carrington yawns and like puts her arm around Elaine Emerald and is like, don't worry, we've all got a darker side.
I don't even know who you are right now. I don't even know who you are.
Neither do I. Let's be honest. Who are any of us, really?
I think I'm into it. Okay, look. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be real with everybody.
Be real.
You're me. You can't be real.
this must be Elaine talking. I have been sleep teleporting lately. I go to bed and then I wake up having not remembered where I went in the middle of the night, and I have handfuls of dirt or my pants are wet or something. I am teleporting out into the woods and back, or to the swimming pool and back. I don't know. It's weird. But I do remember that I slept teleported into the bathroom, but then did see Magenta. But then I can't remember anything else. Although now that not Elaine, but Broomhild is describing it, I do remember being picked up in big muscular arms and being laid down into my bed with two pecs on my forehead. And it was very nice.
So just to make this easy for all of you, because there's a lot of evidence and a lot of things happening right now, let's go through them. Carrington, you do have an alibi, but it cannot speak to anyone but you. You say that you have an alibi because you were hanging out with Lamps all night. Broomhild, you're in the kitchens where at one stage you saw Carrington, but you didn't see him for the rest of the evening, but you did manage to see Elaine late at night where you put him back to bed. Elaine, you were asleep early, but you went into the bathrooms where you 100% saw Magenta, may have seen someone else. You're a little bit fuzzy on those details because you're kind of sleepwalking, and then you sleep teleported so that Broomhild can kind of establish that you were actually asleep. Emerald, you were in the bathrooms cleaning, making them look absolutely fantastic. There with Magenta the entire time because of the time of death. It puts you in the bathroom when the murder occurred.
Let's not forget the library.
You looked in the library, you saw Carrington's shield next to the dead body, and it looked like it had been dragged the last bit before it, where you saw it. You also saw that there was a book on the table opened up to portals. You also saw that there were claw marks into the ground, and you saw that the window was open in the library with very heavy, large footfalls at the base of the window, as if someone had landed heavily.
I lean over to Sexy Emerald and I say, I don't want to throw him under the bus because obviously he's our new best friend. He is the best part of us and he represents the heart and soul of this group. But didn't we meet Carrington Behrman coming through a portal not 1 hour hence?
Totally right, I totally forgot about that. Also, just real quick, Magenta, can I have a lock of your hair?
Oh my God, I totally do that. Oh my God, I'm Magenta!
No, wait, everything's so dark.
Do you want to look anywhere else for clues? Do you have accusations that you want to make? Who's willing to point fingers?
Didn't you say something about footprints?
There were big footprints outside of the window of the library to the right-hand side where it looked like someone had landed.
Big footprints, big guy. It's obviously Carrington. Let's just, I don't know, put him to death. And then he made a souffle. We could do that.
I've got a question. Emerald, what were you doing running about in the middle of the night back to the dormitory?
That's for you. And I point to Elaine.
No, sweetheart. I think that was to you.
Silly. I wasn't running. I don't run. I gracefully lope.
Right. Why were you gracefully loping in the middle of the night?
Why would you accuse me of such a thing with such dubious evidence?
Hey, if anybody's accusing anybody else of being dupe, it's us accusing you of being dupe right now. So instead of being dupe, why don't you come clean?
Yeah, Magenta slash Carrington finishes, like, chucks back the last of the toothpaste water and slams the glass down and stalks out of the room.
Look what you've done. You've gone and hurt the feelings of someone that I'm pretty sure that's Magenta, but I'm Magenta. I gotta go. And I follow her.
All right. So you've looked at the library for evidence. You looked in the kitchen for evidence. You looked in the bathroom for evidence. Do you want to try and find one more room before you cast your vote on who you think it is?
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Cause I'm drunken James Bond. So I don't need any of this drama. I'm just going to look for more clues.
And which room out of those did you want to go to?
I will go to the classroom. Have we been in the classroom?
No.
I'll go to the classroom.
Okay. Can you all roll me perception checks?
While the two of them have stormed out, while it's just Broomhild and Elaine and I,
yeah.
I just want to have a quick aside with them.
Yeah, sure.
Don't you find it a bit odd that she won't explain what she was doing in the middle of the night? And I just kind of find all of a bullshit. Come on.
I think this is very strange behavior.
Oh.
Totally I rolled good. An 18. So if you would like, everyone goes back to their normal voices and their normal appearance.
That's great.
Oh, no. Phew.
That was super fun, though. This whole thing, great choice.
Okay. Everything's back to normal. I think we have to go over to the classroom. Let's see what we can find. I rolled a 6.
I rolled 14.
5.
4.
You rolled a 5, Magenta?
1.
Oh, wow. Carrington's not in the room. You're not even in here. You didn't make it. You fell.
You're hungover. You're having a retch in the hallway. And you are a yell spewer.
Okay, the rest of us in here. What did we find? Any clues?
Yeah, Magenta got the 14, I think, right?
Magenta got the 14?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm typing to you what you found.
Another dead body!
Magenta, she curls up on the floor. I can't take this anymore.
She's opened the last door from the cabinets in the classroom, and there is a mini, like a portal situated in the storage area, and a forearm is hanging out of it. And you can see that there was the tattoo of the academy had like singed its arm off almost. And it's like the forearm that's still attached to the body, but the body's in the portal, but the arm's hanging out. And it definitely isn't moving, and it looks very blue.
A portal! Magenta, I'm so sorry to see that.
I sort of scoop past them, and I want to pull the body out of the portal.
Yeah, I'll help.
Okay. Who is it?
Now that the body has been taken out, you see that it was a previous student of the academy, a stoner halfling, wood elf.
No!
Whose name was Atlas, and he has a bit of his hair, looks like it's been cut and is missing.
Oh my jelly beans.
Missing a piece of hair, and that must mean it was Emerald who killed
Emerald is the one! Emerald!
Brunhilde's obsessed with hair! She talks about it all the time! Remember when she was trying to take my hair? She fought Emerald for it!
Okay. You're the hair stealer!
Ew, gross!
In her defense, she's not obsessed with hair, she's obsessed with your hair, Magenta.
It's only you. I'm just because I'm stupid in love with you. I don't give a crap about anybody's hair. It was because Emerald took your hair!
Everyone roll for me. We will be voting. The person with the highest number will be voting first. The person with the lowest number will be voting last. The person with the most votes will be accused. What's that?
That's the 19.
19?
10.
10?
13.
13?
8.
15.
So who just said 15? Anna from Magenta? Yeah. Uh-huh. So Brunhild, then Magenta, then Emerald, then Elaine, then Carrington. I believe, right?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Duh. All right. So Brunhild.
Yes.
Who are you voting for and why?
Okay.
And no one else can talk during this time.
No one else can talk. All right. To me, the evidence is here. We've got big, deep footprints. She's huge. She's as big as me. Look at those feet. You can paddle a boat with those. She was doing weird things, running around with her strange run outside, and she won't admit it, which I think is very, very dupes. Very dupes indeed. Very dupes indeed. I don't quite know where the portals fit in, but maybe she's an extra, maybe extra studious about portals. And she sucks the life out of her victims because she's a bloodsucker and she's attached herself to the most popular girl in school. And it's only because she's riding her coattails to popularity.
Woo! Alrighty, so we've got one vote for Emerald. Next is
Magenta. Anyway, yes, Emerald is my vote.
Magenta, who are you voting for and why?
This really hurts me because I consider all of you friends, sort of, at least, sometimes. And I just, it hurts my soul because calling out somebody who clearly still has like deep feelings for you is really difficult. But like, we just discovered a body hidden in a portal. we see how big Carrington's feet are, and we know he has a drinking problem that he even admitted. And he says he kicked the bottle over, but I've seen him drain like 5 bottles in a night and not even know where he is. And I just like, I don't want to believe it's true. Like maybe he didn't even know it, but I think Carrington did it in a drunken rage. It's really sad.
Back to Carrington. Emerald, who do you think this is and why?
Well, I gotta say, this is obvious. And the fact that the rest of you haven't put all the clues together, it just shows me why I'm a top student at this academy and you guys have barely scraped your way here. It's right in front of you. There's Portal Boy Atlas, and in the library by the other like dead body was a book about portals. So it's pretty clear that they killed each other. My vote is for Atlas.
Cool. Elaine, it is your turn. Who are you voting for and why?
Honestly, makes sense.
I can't believe I didn't see it before. But now I do. The game here in this high school to try to achieve popularity is one that can put you to the breaking point. My vote is for Magenta, and then Emerald is covering up for her best friend. My vote is for Magenta, who has been feigning finding these bodies. The perfect crime, Magenta.
So we currently have one vote Magenta, one vote for Emerald, and one vote for Carrington. Carrington, this comes down to you. Who do you vote for?
Okay. Well, first of all, Magenta, that was a really, really great sob story. I mean, you've gotten even better at lying since when we dated, and that's just like very impressive because you're already so good at it. And even though you murdered my hopes and dreams of romance, I don't think you're the one responsible for this particular murder. I think it's your little hanger-oner Emerald who killed her, and maybe you're just being a BFF, I guess, and covering up her dirty, dirty tracks.
Always been jealous of her.
So that means that Emerald has gotten just 2 votes, making her the one that has been nominated as the murderer. And as you are accusing her, you notice that her hands start glowing and pulsing red.
No, sweetie, it's okay. I take her hands and try to like hold them to me. Like, no, it's okay.
This is an unrelated issue.
So you are wondering if maybe she has been caught red-handed.
Oh my God, okay. Maud.
And she has all of this extra energy that is surging with inside of her. But because this is the next morning, Reedville has finished the spell and he comes into the classroom and he's like, is everything okay? What's going on?
Double murder.
Mm.
Triple,
they're trying to
possibly
accuse me of being...
Emerald definitely did it.
Awesome. I go up to...
Did you do it? Did you do it, Emerald? Did you get to do it?
Yes. And it worked out perfectly.
Fantastic, my girls. This is great. Have we got enough power to launch the spell?
Between Magenta and I, we have more than enough.
And with that, he pulls out the shard that has been charged. Magenta grabs Elaine, Emerald grabs Broomhild and Carrington and lead you out into the main hall, where you see the other 2 ancient shards are glowing and pulsating as well, and they seem to be connected in some way, and that at the pinnacle of that sort of formation, which would make a triangle, is the podium where he rests the shard. And all of them light up and surge out together. And so you're all standing within this triangle. And Reedville is just like so ecstatic and congratulates Emerald and Magenta for a job well done. How many did you kill?
I can't count them more than 10, but more than fingers that I have.
Good, good. You've been doing my work for me. I can sense that Depeche Niffle's energy is in you. Magenta, is that Atlas's energy inside of you?
All for you.
Well done, ladies. I feel like we need one more burst of energy just to get this going. Who should it be?
Not it.
Not it. Wait, no.
I look at Magenta, and then slowly we both turn until we're facing Carrington.
A wise choice. He always didn't know what was in front of him the whole time. Wanted to be friends with animals. What a brute. And he pulls, summons you forward. And as he beckons, you are drawn towards him and your body is locked and you cannot move.
Can I grab, can I try to grab him and say, and pull on him.
Roll.
7.
You try and this force is just pulling him too hard and you can't quite get the grasp. And when Reedville places his hand upon your chest, your academy tattoo sears with like flaming light and it lances through your body as your energy is starting to get sucked out and goes into Reedville, who then becomes more and more supercharged. And he pulls out the energy from Magenta and from Emerald that they had gathered from the students over the course of your studies, from all the missing students that haven't been there before. And at this stage, all of the shards have lit up and a giant portal opens in the middle of the main hall.
This Magenta, as Carrington's energy is being sucked out, she's like, don't worry, we're gonna be together. Our energy is going to a better place.
Does Emerald have any final words?
Bye, bitch.
This is the worst.
Carrington, your life force is being just siphoned out of you. Do you have any last words?
Emerald, you really are an ugly runner.
What?
Brumhild, Elaine, do you have any last words or anything to say over what's happening?
Carrington, no!
Magenta, no!
Reedville clutches his tattoo and you can feel that the doors and all of the wall surrounding the academy lock into place. So you cannot leave. But the only thing that we'll be leaving is this episode. That's where we're going to leave things. This has been Fungeons and Flagons, episode 9. Carrington, RIP. Magenta and Emerald, we had two killers in the mix this entire time. Brumhild and Elaine didn't vote super correctly-ish.
No, we did. One vote for Emerald, one vote for Magenta. We got this between the two of us.
Oh, both of you, actually. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But yeah, shit be going down at the academy with a giant portal being fueled by these three shards and Carrington's desecrated and decimated corpse laying at the bottom of it all. We will be back next week for Fungeons and Flagons. We will need more surges since we rolled through them for that particular one. As we wrap things up, I just want to thank the guests who have been absolutely amazing in this episode. It was 6 of us in this one, so that's fantastic. STS saying, are the girls also dead? Not yet, but they're kind
Way
through that portal as well, because the noises that you hear from the portal is otherworldly beasts, roars, all of this like cacophony of like otherworldly sounds. And you just hear the noise of a marching army. And Emerald and Magenta feeling super, super confident about all of this. And they want to kind of basically jump into the portal and join them. So thank you to Sirenscape for the cool ambience and music. If you want to use it at your table, head to sirenscape.com. If you feel like supporting the show, head to patreon.com/geekbomb. Thank you so much to Deception Check, who's following Lizardman8383, ColorKey, and Disco Cobra 2013 for the sub. Thank you so much. N_Go and Degenerate Wine, Scarlet Moth Canto 2018, and Red Jello for the sub as well. And Sarah Grace 213 for the sub. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show in that way as well. We are about to record a super quick after show for this, which only the Adventure Pass holders and higher can watch. But follows and subs are always welcome. And if you've got any fan art, this is your last chance to do it. Rob, where can people find you?
On social media.
Good. People can look up Robert Buckley. Brumhild. Kate.
You can't find me anywhere.
Good. Hector.
Also on social media.
Rachel.
Out of space. Social media.
Anna.
I'm going to do a real promo. I'm at Anna Prosser on social media. I'm also starting a new show called Extra Brains with DJ Wheat this Friday at 1 p.m. on both of our channels. And if you'd like fantasy-inspired geek streetwear, you can go to cantripbrand.com and find sweatshirts like this embroidered D20 bouquet. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for having me.
I have fully 4 cantrip pieces, and I wear them constantly. Thank you for the outfits that 2020 needs.
Yay! And thank everyone for supporting. Thank you so much, guys, for guesting. This was an amazing murder mystery. We pulled it off. Until next week, so long, travelers.